Blog Talk Radio. Fifth Dimensional Living with your host, Diane Bachberger. Diane has been given message from the fifth dimension and higher to bring greater peace and understanding to the lives of others. She lives and experiences these higher dimensions to help our world come into balance and to raise to a higher vibration of love. You can find more information on Diane on Facebook at www.facebook.com/dbachberger1 as she shares great wisdom with the world. Let's welcome your host of Fifth Dimensional Living, Diane Bachberger.
Hello, everyone. This is Diane, and thank you for listening in on Fifth Dimensional Living. What propels civilization into the next step? Join me over the next hour or so as I take you into the fifth dimension and beyond. Today is March the 27th, 2014, and it's 11:01 a.m. I've been seeing the number 44 quite frequently over the last 2 days, and if I have the time, I will try to get around to talking a little bit about that. And I see that Walk with Spirit is saying hi in the chat room. Last week I wasn't able to get the chat up because there was a lot going on with a lot of energy last week. And in fifth dimensional consciousness, whatever is going on in the macrocosm occurs in the microcosm and vice versa. So there was a lot of energy shifting and energy crashing, and I was balancing that energy. But it showed up also in the computer. So I rebooted my computer, and it took a long time for it to get back on track again. But it was like the whole system was getting rebooted again. Earth Angels Radio. Please go to www.earthangelsradio.com to find out more about the many shows that we have on Earth Angels Radio. And I'm there also, so if you want to find a little bit more about me, you can check that out. And we're also streaming live on Impact Player Music Nation, so please go to www.ipmnation.com to find out more about all the shows that they also have there. And we're also archived there, as we are in Blog Talk, so if you want to go back and check out the shows. Last week was a pretty interesting show. And it was a lot was about energy, and I also talked about a bunch of celestial things that are coming up. So April is a pretty full month. You know, there's two eclipses, solar and lunar eclipse, and kind of in the smack dab in the middle, there's the Grand Cross. You know, last week was really the start of the energy being activated, like I was telling you. The sun in Aries last week was the start. And so things are really starting to get underway. More of humanity are expanding their energy and going into God consciousness, Christ consciousness, love consciousness, fifth dimensional consciousness, whatever way you want to say it. So it's pretty fascinating, and people have more understanding. I want to talk a little bit today about what the word paradox means and divergent and the new moon in Aries, and if I have a little bit of time, I talk about Zeno's paradox and how it relates to things that are going on right now. I've been seeing a lot of things about viruses and you know, going in and changing things. And been seeing a lot of things around me about mothers losing their children and using memories against us. And some stuff about karma, DNA. I was seeing on Monday the extra DNA that we have. And they said, you know, it's not used for anything. It's just sitting there. Well, I started to see it become active. I was seeing that in my etheric body. So something's going on with that. And over the last couple of days, you know, a couple of my friends and information was coming at me about the hippocampus. And so I want to go on the journey to see how this is related to spiritual ascension, because I've been seeing that, you know, the hippocampus does a lot of different things. It even has something to do with theta, rhythm, and the visual neurons in the sleep and awakening. And it also, you know, hippo was the word for a horse at one time. And, you know, the seahorse, hippocampus really means seahorse. And the temporal lobes on each side of the brain, there's, you know, the hippocampus, which is part of the limbic system. And, you know, visual information includes temporal cues where, you know, the hippocampus is situated. And, you know, a lot of people, especially recently, have been asking me the high frequency they're hearing and the pulsating that they're hearing. Well, they're not really hearing it. They're feeling it, this high frequency switch that's been going on. And I guess since January, it's been really full force. And, you know, I was getting like sequence and opening energy centers. And so it goes beyond the pineal gland. You know, people talk a lot about the pineal gland and opening up and becoming more sensitive and more aware to things around you. But, you know, it's more involved than that. Well, there was something I wanted to mention. I got to recall it. Yeah, you know, has something to do, the hippocampus has to do with memory. That's probably my segue into it. And getting information from the short-term memory into long-term memory. And I've been seeing a lot of things to do with box that keeps us here, the box that keeps us here. And even the Grand Cross, you know, is like a box. And it's really funny. You know, the, I'll get into it a little later. The mnemonic, you know, when you have, you want to get something into your long-term memory, you repeat a certain sequence and things that trigger the memory, there's that word again. And I was getting something about no time shifts and what you need to know in the moment. So it's like when you connect a source, there is no need for really to have that long-term memory, but when you connect to source, all that information is there for you, you know, in that consciousness, that fifth dimensional consciousness. So it's just a lot of information, and I will try to get to it. Somebody's saying, tell me about it. I'm not sure if anybody could hear me if I was actually not broadcasting. So I was getting the message that I wasn't on the air, or I wasn't attached. But I'm not sure. This system and all these funny things happen all the time. So, but basically what I was talking about was there's a lot of different things happening this April, and you know, whatever happens in the macrocosm is what's going on in the microcosm, which is internally the journey within that humanity is going through right now. And a lot of energy shifts are happening right now. And, you know, there's Uranus-Pluto square, April the 21st. There's the Grand Cross. There's two eclipses, and there's all these different other things going on right now. And I, just in case you didn't hear me, I was talking about something. I was getting messages about the mother losing the child and memories, using memories of the child against us. But also I was talking about the hippocampus and how it has something to do with short-term memory, getting into long-term memory. But, you know, there's a frequency switch there going on within humanity. And it is just as important as a pineal gland in the shift that's going on right now. And I was talking about the box that keeps us here and that is opening up and we're expanding, going into the globe of life. And so the hippocampus has something majorly, especially as of late, to do with spiritual ascension. And the hippocampus also has to do with the theta waves. And, you know, a lot of, as a child, people have been, have more theta waves. But if you meditate and in sleep, some of the sleep patterns, it's more apparent. But for people that are in fifth dimensional consciousness, it's like they're in, like perpetual theta. So hopefully people didn't miss the first part that I was talking about. So if anybody would like to call in, if they have any questions, the number is 646-200-4169. I'm just going to check to make sure that we're still on, and we still are, so that's good. Maybe I'll talk a little bit about what I was saying about, you know, the hippocampus. And the hippocampus means seahorse, and the father of... And Pegasus is a horse, okay? But Poseidon, the god of the sea, was the father of Pegasus. And, you know, apparently in the Bible there's a reference to white horse, which appears in the sky, and things will start to shift when that happens. You know, this is the time when I guess the Pegasus constellation really is strong in the sky. And I think it's up to the end of March and maybe the beginning of April, but I'm not absolutely sure. But also, you know, like everything that happens in the macrocosm happens in the microcosm. And within us, we have something that correlates with this called the hippocampus. And funny thing is, too, you know, when we talk about the feminine energy and how it flows and how it's been suppressed, something to do with that energy is contained within the hippocampus. And I guess, you know, I was talking to him about mnemonics, if you heard that, the short-term to long-term memory, using memory triggers to... get something from the short-term into long-term memory. Mnemosyne was the goddess of memory, and muses were her daughters. Pegasus was sacred to the muses. So all these things, you know, it's funny how what actually is contained within us is sometimes reflected around us, even in stories and myths and different things like that. So Pegasus, which is the hippocampus of the brain, is responsible for memory. And Pegasus connected to Mimosis, now I can't say the word, Mnemosyne, who is the goddess of memory. So it has something to do with what's going on right now. And so, you know, when we talk about Pegasus being in the constellation, it also... is reflected in the hippocampus of the brain. And apparently there were nine muses. And Calliope, Erato, had to do with love, and Calliope had to do with epic stories, and Enterpe, which is the lyric word, and Melpomene, tragedy, and Thalia, comedy, and Cleo, history, and Urana, astronomy, and Olhemnia, sacred song, and Thersicor, dance. So all the artistic things. So, you know, there's a lot going on in that area of the brain, but it's also the patterns that we have within ourselves, our psyche, or our consciousness, but it's also... keying in to the emotion of the limbic system. So it somehow the hippocampus transmutes and manifests things of creativity into the physical realm. And they were just represented by these muses. Anyway, the word muse also at one point in time meant the art of meditation. And so when we meditate, we become more closely connected to this energy. But also right now, when the theta is more pronounced, there's more connection to dream time, to subconscious, and then in fifth dimensional consciousness, we become there's less demarcation between wake time and sleep time and dream time. So muse, like I was saying, means the mind and the meditation. And so what I was calling Pegasus, the hippocampus, is what triggers. It's like a fluid running. It triggers the creative ability within us. That's what the muses represent. So, you know, when you meditate, and some of you have had the Kundalini experience, what has to do with manifestation and in the root chakra, the hippocampus has something to do with manifestation. And on Sunday, when the new moon in Aries opens up and all these things start to align, there's something shifting there. So some people may be feeling the tightness on the sides of the heads in the temporal lobe regions. Now, I was getting information, too, about the hippocampus, and has to do with Alzheimer's and memory, but also has to do with temporal lobe seizures and all those different things. And if I have time, I may talk about those things, but there's a lot of information to share right now. They're saying now that coconut oil, there's something in it that plugs a process that's been triggered in 3D that kind of puts a plaque into that area of the brain and affects the brain with Alzheimer's. I put an article on my Facebook page about this person that says, you know, I want to remember who I am and let people know who I am before I forget who I am. But, you know, I'm getting a lot of stuff about memory and a lot about this area of the brain. So there is a shift when you go into fifth dimensional consciousness, and some people have felt it, like myself, and I felt it many, many years ago, like over 20 years ago. And, you know, some people experience it when they have a car accident or something and you have an injury in that area of the brain that affects the short-term memory. But it also opens you up to reconnecting in a different way, okay? Some people have had that experience. But so basically there's it's funny, I just have to go get a Kleenex because I'm starting to bleed from my mouth for some reason. But it's just because I have a little, and, you know, blood means love. And I do these things from my heart. And something's opening up within me. So something is really big is happening with that part of the brain. So, you know, I'm going to talk about the horse today and see how this correlates because, you know, I've been seeing horses around me. People have been talking about horses. And, you know, it also has to do, this hippocampus area of the brain has to do with the connection with the root chakra and has to do with the Kundalini energy too. But that's very creative energy and the manifestation. These areas all interconnect. You know, the upper heart, the energy from the hippocampus. And, you know, the funny thing is when you look at the hippocampus and you bring it across your forehead, where does that go? It goes into, you know, the forehead, right? Or into the bridge of the nose. And I was talking about on some of the shows how April 21st is the fifth Uranus-Pluto square, which is going to open up, has something to do with throat and truth. But also simultaneously, this area and this energy center is beginning to be triggered too. And I think about a month ago I talked about it on the show, so I would say the last 3 months, if you can go back and plug into the shows, it'd be good to do that. The last show I did was March the 20th, so if you want to plug in March 20th, my name, the time, the date, and fifth dimensional living. So this energy, the Pegasus and the hippocampus, is a symbol of the new consciousness, which is bringing forth a whole new civilization, a new age. And, you know, we talk about the age of Aquarius being triggered and all that other stuff. But, you know, it has to do with that too. So, you know, I just think it's really interesting that this information has been coming to me. A friend of mine called me yesterday and we were talking, and he was saying that he's so surprised that all of a sudden people that he didn't think would be consciously awakened, it just astounded him with what they were talking about. And one of the things that he was saying, he was talking to this doctor, had something to do with memory and the hippocampus and the emotion. And, you know, when we open up our heart, it triggers something in the hippocampus area, and it whatever happens in one area of the body energetically shifts something in the rest of the body, and then more things open up. It's like a domino effect. It triggers things to expansion. This is times of expansion. So, you know, I've been saying to people, you know, meditate, go on the inner journey, but lately I've been saying stay in your body when you're meditating. This is going to trigger the hippocampus area of the brain. You know, if you're leaving your body all the time and going all over the place, this isn't going to be that helpful at all, okay? So, you know, I was talking about Memosyn, the goddess of memory. And there's something switching with the memory in there, okay? Maybe I could talk a little bit about, let me just see if I can find the article that I wanted to, maybe just do a definition, just because my computer's been doing weird things, I've just being a little bit cautious because I have so much electricity. Something here. Okay, that's about a muse. I've got a lot of definitions. Okay, maybe I'll talk about the hippocampus and I'll do the Wikipedia version. You know, you go to a hippocampus on Wikipedia and it shows your brain at the top of the page, and then it shows you this little thing on the sides, and it's located in the medial temporal lobe of the brain. In this lateral view of the human brain, the frontal lobe is at the left, and the occipital lobe is at the right, and the temporal parietal lobes have been largely removed to reveal the hippocampus underneath. And it says here that it resembles a seahorse, from the Greek hippos, meaning horse, and campus, meaning sea monster. So, you know, it's amazing that this exists out in space, in the, you know, the Pegasus thing, and within myth, and also within the brain. And it's a major component of the brains of humans and other vertebrates. It belongs to the limbic system and plays important roles in the consolidation of information from short-term to long-term memory and spatial navigation. Humans and other mammals have two hippocampi, one on each side of the brain, and the hippocampus is located under the cerebral cortex, and primates, it's located in the medial temporal lobe. Underneath the cortical surface, it contains two interlocking parts, the Ammon's horn and the dentate gyrus. In Alzheimer's disease, the hippocampus is one of the first regions of the brain to suffer damage. Memory loss and disorientation are included among the early symptoms. Damage to the hippocampus can also result from oxygen starvation, encephalitis, or medial temporal lobe epilepsy. And, you know, I was talking about that. This man, when he was a little child, he got thrown against a wall by these big bullies. They picked him up and just threw him. And he had, like, a bleed there, and his family took him to the hospital and stuff, but they were unable to find anything wrong with him. But years, you know, sometimes brain injuries don't show up right away. It was getting worse throughout his life, and there was one point where he actually was getting, like, a fever, and he ran out of the house naked, and the police shot him because they didn't know what was going on. But I would say, you know, like, it's hard to, you know, when somebody is running around naked, you know there's something not right. So what the police did wasn't the best thing for the situation. So this has happened in Toronto in December, the beginning of December. And, you know, I was really drawn to the story, so it doesn't surprise me. This is just this past weekend that this is standing out with me now. It says people with extensive bilateral hippocampal damage may experience retrograde amnesia and the inability to form or retain new memories. So in rodents, it's saying the hippocampus has been studied extensively as part of the brain system responsible for spatial memory and navigation. Many neurons in the rat and mouse hippocampus respond as place cells. That is, they fire bursts of action potentials when the animal passes through a specific part of its environment. Hippocampal place cells interact extensively with head direction cells whose activity acts as an inertial compass and conjecturally with grid cells in the neighboring endotorhinal cortex. Since different neuronal cell types are neatly organized into layers in the hippocampus, it's frequently been used as a model system for studying neurophysiology. The form of neuroplasticity is known as long-term potential, was first discovered to occur in the hippocampus and has been studied in this structure. LTP is widely believed to be one of the main neural mechanisms by which memory is stored in the brain. So if you want to find out a little bit more about that, just do a little bit more study about the hippocampus, but just know, you know, there's something going on within the brain, and, you know, many people are now starting to feel, it's like a throttle in there also that gets activated when you have different parts of your energy centers, like the upper heart activated, you know, the throat and the forehead chakras and the crown chakra. You know, it amps up, and the frequency shifts, and it's felt, and you know, you're hearing these kind of vibrations in the head, and frequency changes. You can feel it amp up sometimes. So I'm just explaining this to people because, in case you're wondering what's going on, I've had a few people write me and ask me about that, and this information, you know, comes to me in the moment. So there's also this, it's a research report, and it's hippocampal theta rhythm synchronizes visual neurons in sleep and waking. So, you know, I was talking about how it changes sort of the, I don't know how to put it, you know, like the physical reality, I guess, because, anyway, it goes abstract, the hippocampal theta rhythm was reported to be associated with movements, attention, auditory processing, autonomic functions, learning and memory, and postulated as the actor of discontinuous events. Since visual information includes temporal cues, our study was centered on the correlation between the hippocampus, zero rhythm, and lateral genuclate activity. So the phase relationships between the hippocampal and the unit firing were found with both spontaneous and light-invoked activity during wakefulness. So it's activated by light, okay? So when you activate your upper heart and your body shifts, and you're taking in more light with the pineal gland, and in your body, there's little receptors that are activated, but it's evoked in the hippocampus, okay? And it actually changes, which came first, the chicken or the egg, whether it's activated by the open heart or the activation within the hippocampus, you know, feeling with meditation and that sort of thing. I'm sure there can be different ways. But it, with this study, it said it was dynamic, exhibiting changes related to sleep, waking cycle, and perhaps attention shifts. You know, when I was a kid, I was able to concentrate on what was going on in 3D, and I was off in other realms and doing things simultaneously. And, you know, the teacher would always say to me, she would notice and say, what did I just say? And I'd repeat it word for word. And I'm sure it had something to do with that, too. It has something to do with dimensional shifting and different things. You know, there's many different triggers. But so, you know, if you're interested in this, I think it was published November the 27th, 2001. Maybe I'll just put it on the... I don't want to go into the whole thing. You know, there's so many different things to talk about here. And a lot of this stuff is pretty heavy duty, and I'm not here to blow your brain cells, but I just want to let people know that whatever happens and we see happening around us, you know, in the cosmos is what is reflected in what's going on within us, you know. So basically that's all you really have to know. But when you connect to source, all this information, as you need it in the moment, comes to you, okay? And I'm just going to see if anybody has any questions in the chat room. Somebody says they have some damage from solvents years ago, and the brain damage affects memory, and sometimes emotions can be a process to reconnect to heart again and let go to the ego mind. Yeah, I think this goes beyond the ego. There's part of it when you, you know, what's amazing, when you open up your upper heart, it's like a bypass, and it can actually trigger things in your mind. And you may feel like your memory's affected to some degree, but if you connect to source, it's like things come to you as you need them, and you don't have to have a long-term memory. It's pretty amazing because, you know, long-term memory because it happens and was formed because of time and space, and that's an illusion. So living in the moment, you have what you need, and things come to you in that moment, and that's fifth-dimensional consciousness. For some people, the concept's a little difficult to understand, but hopefully by explaining some of the things that I explain on the show here, that it helps people understand a little bit more. And I just want to let people know the number here again is 646-200-4169 if you're interested in, you know, knowing anything more or ask any questions about anything that has to do with fifth dimensional consciousness or things that you're experiencing, because it's always good to share experiences here. I did post that article. It's a study, so it can be quite complicated. So I just tried to get the gist of it, that how I could relate it to what we're talking about now. So anyways, this hippocampus is pretty interesting. I was talking about Muse. You know, over the last few weeks I've been talking a lot about, you know, the shifting consciousness, opening yourself up, opening the heart, and reconnecting with feminine energy that's been suppressed for so long. You know, whatever happens in the greater picture happens within us, or whatever happens within us in the microcosm happens in the macrocosm. So that's what's going on right now. So this feminine creative energy is being released, and the area that I was talking about where this creative energy comes from is in the hippocampus. So Muse, it's a guiding spirit, a source of information or inspiration. and a poet, you know, somebody that reflects things and in an artistic way. You know, you can, like I was saying, there are the nine different sisters or the daughters of the Greek goddess of memory. It has to do with that part of the brain. And they're all creative things. So it goes beyond just the regular definition of muse. And at one time, it meant to absorb in one's thoughts, engage in meditation. And when we do that, we actually become in flow. And we go into flow and we become more creative. So it's, you know, it's an altered state, putting yourself into, you know, different wavelengths. So in the Greek myth of the nine sister goddesses, each one of them was regarded as a protectress of different art or science. And the daughters of Zeus and Mnemosyne, and the nine are Calliope, Clio, Erato, Terp, Melopmen, Polyhymenia, and Terp, Secor, and Thalia, and Urania. You know, it's really funny. The Uranus-Pluto squares are happening, and this is going to have something to do with the talk. You know, the hippocampus has something to do with visual things, too, and how we see things, and how also to do with, you know, knowing and connection to source. So all these areas connect us to God. So when you reflect and ponder and gaze and meditate, or, you know, you're creative, you're actually using that creative aspect of yourself and shifting consciousness. Being creative is shifting consciousness, but as we expand, we don't have to shift consciousness because we're already in that state of creative consciousness all the time. Okay? Let's just see if I can have anything else to read a little bit more about that. I know I'm talking a lot about it, but sometimes those things... let me just see if I can get the dictionary definition of muse and... to be amused, get satisfaction as seeing people enjoy things. You know, that's one of the is joy. You know, when you're doing things creative, it brings joy. And when we do creative things, we exist in the moment. And it's all about thinking in a different way, in a deeper way. You know, and being in serious thought sometimes. You know, some people when they're in this type of thought wave, they're in a flow, so they almost block out what's going on around them. You know, it's a very creative process. There's other things I wanted to talk about. I wanted to talk about the horse a little bit more, but let me just see. There's one other thing I wanted to share about. Okay, near-death experiences and transcendental experiences, neurophysiological correlates and hypothesis. Well, you know, they talk about near-death experiences and how it relates to do with, you know, this article goes into a little bit with the Kundalini and the hippocampus and all these memories flooding back. You know, when you hear about people going through a near-death experience, they suddenly, you know, have this flood of memory for a lot of parts of their lives. So there's a little paper study on that, too, so I'll include that. I didn't read it. It's just stuff that just showed up, you know, like suddenly. So I include it because there's always somebody that I find that there's a reason why. You know, maybe I'll talk a little bit about theta rhythm. This is in Wikipedia. And it talks about, it's an oscillatory pattern in the electroencephalography. The EEG signals recorded either from inside the brain or from electrodes glued to the scalp. And the two types of theta rhythm described as the hippocampus Campbell theta rhythm is a strong oscillation that can be observed in the hippocampus and other brain structures in numerous species of mammals, including rodents, rabbits, dogs, bats, and cats, and marsupials. In the cortical theta rhythms, a low-frequency component of scalp ECG usually recorded from humans. Okay, so they just go on to say that it's easily observed in the hippocampus. It can be detected in numerous other cortical and subcortical brain structures. And the hippocampus theta with the frequency range of 6 to 10 hertz appears when a rat is engaged in active motor behavior. So, you know, I talk about people going walking, and I guess, you know, in a way it's a repetitive pattern. It stimulates it and also REM sleep. You know, theta waves with a lower frequency range around 7 or 6 to 7 are sometimes observed when a rat is motionless but alert. So what I would like to share is that even when you're awake, and, you know, there's a time where between sleep and being widely awake, there is still, you know, an altered state. And this is when, you know, some people have visions and that sort of thing. So I'm just kind of skipping through the article. The function of the hippocampal theta rhythm is not clearly understood. Green and Arduini, in the first major study of this phenomenon, noticed that the hippocampus theta usually occurs together with a desynchronized EEG in the neocortex. So, and proposed that is related to arousal. So, you know, different parts of the brain are connected, and different things and energy is all connected. And they'll, you know, the light within us, and that taking in light has to do with, you know, electricity, and it has to do with the neurological system in physicality. So if you want to read a little bit more about that, that would be interesting too. So all these things are interrelated. That's the same one that I had before. I'm just looking through these different articles or things I have. So some people say that it's a great purging time. I was getting information about purging too, and shifting and movement. And like I said, on Monday I was getting this information about that extra DNA being activated within many people. So I wanted to talk a little bit also about paradox and what it means. I was getting information about paradox, you know, like this whole realm is a paradox. Because polarity is a paradox. Paradox, noun, is a statement or proposition that seems self-contradictory or absurd, but in reality expresses a possible truth. And these are times of truth. And like I said, you know, we're activating that throat chakra very soon. You know, many of us already have it activated to speak truth. And the second definition is self-contradictory and false proposition. Any person, thing, or situation exhibiting an apparently contradictory nature. They're kind of saying one thing and being something different. So, you know, it doesn't surprise me that, there's related forms, paradoxical, adjective, and then paradoxology, and then synonyms, puzzle, anomaly, riddle. So the World English Dictionary, it's a seemingly absurd or self-contradictory statement that is or may be true. Religious truths are often expressed in paradox. Self-contradictory proposition is I always tell lies. You know, a person or thing exhibiting apparently contradictory characteristics, an opinion that conflicts a similar belief. You know, 3D is very much full of paradox. Well, right now we're going through, to use a play on words, paradigm. And you know, these things were going to change. So there's a whole bunch of different definitions of paradox, but I just wanted to talk about it because there's another word that I want to talk about too, is divergent. And divergent means drawing from a common point and diverging. Like I was talking about a few weeks ago, how we're becoming and going into the globe of life and being at the center of the point of the circle connects us to everything. And we can see things from like a 360 degree up and down and around and everywhere. But also divergent means departing from convention, differing from another. You know, we're a paradox is that we are all different, but we are the same at the same time. We are one. Mathematics failing to approach a limit, not convergent. And another definition, diverging or causing divergence. Mathematics, series of having no limit, no convergence. Botany, further part at the tops and their bases. So divergent are words that are standing out really right now. So I want to use the definition from deviating from another or from standard divergent opinion. There's a movie out right now called Divergence, and I actually went and saw the movie because I was getting so much information about divergence. And so I thought, okay, this has something to do really with what's going on right now too. But in the movie, I don't want to tell you too much in case you want to see the movie, but it was actually quite good. It was basically about how in the society to keep people contained, they actually differentiated people. They kind of put them into classifications and made them live together, and they live separately from each other, you know. And this is in itself, you know, a paradox because we're all connected, but, you know, they were doing this because they figured that if they did it and kept people busy, then there wouldn't be a problem with war. But anyway, in this society, they actually did tests to see where you fit, you know, whether you fit into the farm class, the legal class, the intellectual, the warrior class. You know, they had all these different things that separated them. And, you know, the intellectuals in their own minds thought that if they did this, they could control things. But in a way, it was, you know, not a good thing. But what happened was there were people that may have come from other classes. Like when you were a certain age, you got to pick where you wanted to go. So, you know, people were at some point deciding, and it may not be the class that they grew up in. And they didn't even know that whether their parents came from another one because, you know, once you lived in this, you know, segregated community, you weren't allowed to talk about your past life anymore. But anyway, some of the people, they didn't know where they fit. And this one particular character in the novel and in the movie, I didn't read the book, but they were divergent, which means that they didn't fit into any category. They fit into all categories. And I kind of saw myself identify with this. So it was pretty amazing. So, you know, if you want to go see the movie, I don't want to talk too much more about it because I did share quite a bit. But, you know, this is what's happening with people right now. When we exist in fifth dimensional consciousness, everything comes to us and we exist in the moment. So everything we need comes to us in the moment. So we go beyond classification, you know. That's why I wanted to talk about the word divergence and paradox, because, you know, at the same time we exist, you know, in a world that's segregating and dividing, and it becomes more and more divided, that at the same time we're expanding. You know, so this is it's contradictory. It's a paradox. And, you know, we're going to see that everywhere around us right now, and I was seeing it and feeling it so deeply, and it's really amazing that this movie's come out at the same time. But, you know, there are no accidents. You know, things happen. I want to talk a little bit more about that Cardinal Cross that I was talking about in 2014, and I'm just trying to see if there's this person's got an overview of all the stuff. Just what I was saying earlier, that the climax of this Cardinal Cross and the transformational energies that are happening, and this is happening with humanity, it's just reflected in this Cardinal Cross. It's happening on the 23rd and 24th of April, but also prior to that, the Uranus-Pluto square is happening on the 21st. And a total lunar eclipse is happening on April the 14th, and the solar eclipse on the 28th or 29th, depending on where you're living, of 2014, you know, of April. And I talked a lot last week about the eclipses, okay, and the meaning of them. So, you know, go back to last week's show, the 20th. This Cardinal Cross is affecting us immensely. And, you know, but it's not that the cross is affecting us. It's what's going on within us that's being reflected on the outside in the mirror of that reflection. So January to July, you know, I was talking about how January the 16th, that full moon that had to do with Lilith, really triggered the feminine energy within us. And, you know, there's balance and there's intense energy going on right now. And I was also talking about how, you know, the water signs and the fire signs are kind of balancing each other out. And this is why we have to be in our body to go beyond this reality and to, you know, physically ascend, be in our bodies and ascend and expand our energy. The Cardinal Grand Cross is a gateway of potential. You know, I've talked about when we live in the moment, we open up our hearts, we see all possibilities. And when this forehead chakra opens up, I think it's in the sixth Uranus-Pluto square, which is going to be happening in the fall. And I think that is also happening around where towards the time when there's eclipses too. And I talked about those last week, the eclipses that are happening in October. So this is opening up possibilities and great manifestation and potential within humanity and opening up our truths all at the same time. We're going to be speaking our truth. And it has to do with cosmic truth and based on love. And this feminine energy and the subconscious revealing itself to us. I've even noticed my dream time changing. It's more connected beyond the self into connection with other people. We're all deeply connected. I had a dream the other day, and in the dream, I was just inserted into the dream, and I felt it. So, you know, usually when you have a dream or if you've experienced lucid dreaming, you kind of waken gently and then you see what's going on around you. You can manipulate and change things and you're aware of what's going on. Well, in this dream, felt like I just was suddenly inserted and it was in the dark. And I was like, whoa, but, you know, I was lucid at the time, and I came down these stairs and I looked around, and it was a place that I loved. It's a place that I've actually seen, and I was like, wow, this is so cool. And then, you know, I had people that I know, which, you know, I have dreams sometimes about people that I know, but they were revealing themselves to me. So, and I was so respectful and reverence of this for all life and for people around me. And, you know, this is a time, too, that's reflected in that we're going to be connecting to our higher wisdom and attracting people that we're more in tune with, that are more reflections of ourselves, and there's going to be balance in all this. You know, a lot of people are afraid of this, and they're saying, oh, this is going to happen, and that's going to happen, and, you know, this is going to happen. But, you know, we can manifest what we want in higher consciousness. And, you know, I choose to manifest an awakening to the higher wisdom and connection and beauty, and all built on love. You know, going away from frameworks that create fear with us, you know, that have created, and creating a whole new world based on, you know, of love, compassion, and that sort of thing. You know, another thing about that movie, Divergence, one of the traits that these people had that were divergent was love. And they cared about people. They had empathy. They had understanding. And the funny thing was, with the people that had to do with the intelligence, that were just focused on intelligence, it took them away from that part of themselves, you know, that emotional part of themselves, that, but also the empathic part of ourselves. You know, and this is hippocampus, reconnects us to that part of ourselves, but in the physical form here, you know, and that's why we have to be in our bodies right now when we go, you know, through this ascension, these, especially in these periods and times. I could go on and on and on about it, but, you know, I will talk about the, you know, the Cardinal Grand Cross a little bit more in another show, but I just wanted to, you know, share with you my perspective on it, maybe a little bit more into fifth dimensional consciousness, rather than explaining things, and this happens because of this, and this, you know, that's really 3D. Anyway, there is an article, and it's Dark Star Astrology, which is a good one, and I think it was March the 12th. I'm not sure if I read this one. Anyway, they... somebody says that it's so scary they're giving classes on it. They've seen past cardinal squares and studied them, T-squares from 1 AD, this person. And who wrote it? Marina Macario. Anyway, the show's going to end pretty soon, but if you want to go back and listen to more of what I'm talking about, please go back and listen to the archives, okay, because I'm going to talk a little bit more about this stuff, but I'm also going to talk about the horse and the porcupine and animals that have to do with this and other things, okay? Because, you know, I'm finding that an hour is just not enough to explain all these things. So, anyway, this person talks about past alignments and they're talking about previous weeks I've covered each planetary alignment, but on April 23rd it all comes together. So it's like a culmination of everything. You know, I was talking about January, but, you know, it even happened before that, but especially January 16th, which happens to be my birthday, so that's quite comical. And then it's really coming together by July the 18th, which is my daughter's birthday, so that is even more amazing. And I'll explain other things in another time. So the person says that, you know, they've looked at the theme of this, and powerful dynasties taking power and things happening that caused fear and the currency losing value. So people have seen this in the past. There was a cardinal T-square of 1344, which is particularly significant since it shows the beginning of the fake money ruling the world and the elites holding power of the masses by creating debt. The cross also fell around the 13th degree of the cardinal signs, as it does this year. And I talked about that in other shows, about that 13 degrees. I thought it was important to only research cardinal crosses, not fixed or muted with the same planets, to get a clear idea of specific energy. And cardinal signs are natural leaders and initiators, so this is like a whole new ball game here. And it's pioneer conquering and create great force. And we do have other factors that, you know, influence it, like the water signs and the water trine. And it says the cardinal power battery also contains catalysts of change, the Uranus, Pluto, and it combined with Mars and Jupiter, which has to do with military might, then we really are in for a life-changing event of epic portions. In the natural zodiac, the cardinal cross covers the four fundamental ourselves, Aries, our partner, Libra, career, Capricorn, and home life, Cancer. important transits that occur within the cross will change the very foundations of our lives. We get this falling in their houses, will feel the force of it. And, you know, they go on and on to explain a little bit more about that. So, you know, look up dark star astrology if you want to know a little bit more about it. And as things, you know, open up, I will talk more about it. You know, there's this Libra factor that's involved, and people talk about a judgment time. And, you know, powerful planets in cardinal signs are very strongly placed in the heart of each one, which makes the whole square very compelling. And fixed stars do not greatly tone this fierce energy down at all, but I'm grateful. Most of the stars are quite in your face and honest, except Mars on the Al-Gabab. But there's a blessing. It will still be Mars retrograde, so it will be on the back foot and operating undercover. So, you know, that aspect we're looking at and seeing what we can change within ourselves. So the energy is intense, but it's shifting. And it talks here about Mars is already cloaked in crows' black feathers. So I was hearing ravens or crows today, so it's sneaky, hard to see. Anyway, it goes on and on and on. But it's great times, great shifts, a lot of energy really changing within humanity. I'm just going to go back and check this out. So, you know, it's a time of great change, and we'll leave it at that, okay? Maybe I can talk a little bit more about, if you want to read about Zeno's paradox, it just shows that in this physical world, existing in time and space creates paradoxes, okay? So it creates things that separate, cause separation. Zeno, Z-E-N-O's paradox is a trick. And he explains different type of